Do you hear that?
I do.
That's the sound of reindeer. It's coming. Christmas is coming.
Dude, it's right around the corner.
It's kind of creepy, just a little bit. But it's okay. Just reindeer landing on your roof. You know how it makes me feel?
A big guy that just wants your cookies.
Oh, that's how it makes me feel.
I got the no trespassing. Like ending it. No trespassing signs posted, Santa.
Yeah. White, he's obviously a robber. He's obviously a thief, and it's just the most accepted thievery of all time.
I think so.
He wears a disguise. Doesn't look like him all the time. So he wears a disguise. He breaks into your house. He might leave some stuff, take stuff.
He takes the cookies. Rumor has it.
But here's the thing is, I think everybody's so enamored by all the new stuff they have under the tree and they wake up, they're probably not going to notice like two or three things off out, missing from their house, right? They just fill it with more stuff. A month goes by, they're done with all that stuff. Like, hey, did anybody see this thing?
He brainwashes you in a way.
It's creepy. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe
about that.
This is it, dude. Santa has cookies of his own right. So he takes the cookies that you give him and then he gives you back the cookies. Maybe they're laced. Who knows?
Oh, the ones that are left over?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, he has imposter cookies that he's going to leave you. And you're like, oh, Santa must have never came or he didn't eat any cookies or Santa's on diet. Who knows?
Then you eat them.
You eat his cookies he gives you.
And brainwashes you.
Then you forget about all the Christmas presents that you...
Or you forget all about all the stuff that you lost from the house.
I don't think Santa's a thief.
I don't think he's a thief. I was just saying. Anyways, hello everybody.
Yo.
Welcome to Journey Through Time and Stuff.
Merry Christmas.
That's how we do that. That's the only thing we're going to say about that. No more. We have a great show today. He's going to be up in a little bit, Scotty Fisher. We're so excited to talk to this guy. He's here right now, but he's not allowed to talk yet. We'll tell him when. Yeah, everybody, thank you for continuing to download. Thank you for continuing to listen. Hope you haven't killed anybody yet in the malls shopping.
Yeah, it's been pretty hectic out there, pretty wild. It's like combat fishing or something.
Yeah.
Everyone's fighting for a spot upstream.
It's bad. Just be safe, guys. Stay warm. And remember, it's flu season.
Here's another message from Kablarg Health and Safety Division. It's flu season again, and here's what we recommend.
When you're sniffling and you're sneezing, and you're miserable for no reason, it's time to grab a beverage. Gargle balls.
Yes, grab Kablarg's hopefully patented anti-cough balls. When you're coughing, open our fresh saver resealable pouch and pull out two balls. Wash them down with any beverage, especially booze.
When you're sick and feeling pukey and your nose is full of mucky, it's time to grab a beverage, Gargle Balls. Got runs in the shakes? Gargle Balls, for goodness sakes. Don't be shy. Now's the time, Gargle Balls.
Yeah, it is that easy. Just like that guy said. Gargle Balls, Kablarg. Yo, everybody, today we be out here kablogging with Shiz Naughty. Shiz, how you?
Shiz be good. Shiz Naughty ready to party. We got Captain Kablog out front giving away lollipops to all the little ruglets and shit. Not going to talk about it, though. I'm going to be about it.
Kablog! Fixed your shitty car. It is the goop that's super smart. It is an art to watch it start to move a rusted sticky part. Snag it at your local mart or bar it off your workmate's cart. Kablog's a spray that's used in ways can save you from your fucked up taste.
Squirt, squirt.
Let's go. Now we are two bros that know how to fix problems we face on the road. Kablarg is sick. It will unstick or restick the Kablarg trick.
Shiz Naughty. We don't stop the party.
Those long nights at the gym leaving you extra soft and flabby when you get home?
Are you having a hard time finishing those twisted lifts and not able to quite get that last pancake flip?
Does your dick just not fucking work?
Uncle Sam only give you $13 in this year's tax return?
Kablarg!
3.9!
Hey,
other 3.8.
All right, motherfuckers. You ever been to the gym and be like,
who the fuck stole my shoes?
Hey, man, sounds like you need some Kablarg 3.9.
It was you.
It wasn't me. Fuck
you. Get over here. Stop running away.
Say you're at the DMV and you notice that certain someone's standing next to you in their uppy butt tuck. And you're like, yo, that looks...
Hey, are you looking at my butt, dude? What's going on?
I'm just trying to say, you look like you need some Kablarg 3.9. I don't care. Pretty flat.
That's wrong.
Okay, fuck.
I'm not a piece of meat. Right, my eyes are up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to a journey through time and stuff.
Time and stuff, yeah. You've never been on a journey like this before. Time and stuff time. Time for the stuff to happen. Time.
Hello, everybody.
Time.
Welcome to another episode of A Journey Through Time and Stuff. I am Aaron.
And I am Jason.
And today, in the studio right now, live, for the first time ever, we have Scotty Fisher in the studio. Now you can say hi.
Oh, what's up?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we don't really have an audience if you're listening for the very first time. Hey, man, welcome.
Yeah, this is great.
Right.
I haven't done something like this before, so I'm stoked.
That's man. No, we're glad to have you. You know, we're mutual friends. All the guys from Noise Brigade.
My boys.
That's it,
boys,
man.
Boys.
Yep. We love them. We used to, you know, they kind of stole a member from us, but we don't talk about. No, we're just joking,
stole
everybody.
We're just joking.
No, it's all love. It's all love.
Of course.
Anyways, so yeah, you know, We've seen, you know, you a lot of photos, music videos, and then
you're everywhere.
Your band Fighting Casper. You guys write great music, like, you know, you're doing everything, man. So we're just excited to have you here and kind of pick your brain and talk about some fun shit. That's it, man.
Heck yeah.
So you brought, we start off every episode with a first song on the vinyl. Today, what'd you bring for us?
Hopes Fall. Their last album that they released was Magnetic North, my favorite album pretty much in the whole entire universe.
Beautiful. Yeah, man. I have never heard them.
Me
Jason's
either.
Never heard them.
No, and gonna be exciting.
We're super, super excited.
Let's do it.
So the first song we're going to listen to, what was the name of it? RX Contender the Pretender. It's the first track off the first side. And yeah,
side
man.
Note, am I allowed to
talk
about the experience that I had with it?
Yes, you can talk about anything you want.
Okay, cool. I don't know how filtered I have to be.
No, you can say wild. Whatever the fuck you
wet
want.
Wet and wild.
Whatever the fuck. All right, so this track, it helped me calm down from this crazy shroom experience that I had. It was the first time that I ever did psychedelics or anything like that. And so I'm watching TV, just waiting for it to come up, and we're watching an episode of Workaholics, and it's the episode that they're doing shrooms, of course, because I was like,
sure.
Hey, this might be relatable. Awful idea. So there's a scene where Anders, he's in the bathroom, and there's someone that's in the urinal or using the urinal, and they drop a knife, and he's in the stall. He sees the knife, and he, like, he's like, oh, shit, they're trying to kill me. He doesn't know who the person is or anything.
Yeah, right.
So at that same time, my buddy's mom, she came into the house.
While you guys were all shrooming.
While we were right when I started fucking coming. So I was coming up, and his mom comes into the house. I think she's the one with the knife, and I'm the one, like, trying to hide away from her. So my buddy Andrew and I, we're just hanging in the bedroom, and then... another guy of mine, he was in the other room. He was like hanging out with his mom, like while he was tripping too, because he started before everyone else. I was like, "How could you do that?"
Yeah,
she's trying to kill us and shit. So, like Andrew, we got to go into the closet. We got to hide. So we're in my buddy Ryan's bedroom, and we run into the closet. Mind you, there's a bed in the closet, so it's not like we could shut a door on the closet.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, some clothes kind of hanging down from the...
just like a little cave.
Yeah, just a little cave, essentially.
Oh,
like,
my
you could totally
God.
See everything in there, too. But I grab a jacket, and I put it over myself, and I hide in there, and then...
Perfect. That's a perfect spot.
I know. Andrew's just like, what's going on? Jolie's trying to kill us! So he's like, oh, shit. okay. So he hides in there too, and we're both like just awfully hidden. You could see us obviously. And
but at the time you felt safe.
We felt safe. You're it was good. Well, yeah. As safe as I could, thinking right. someone was trying to kill me. So Ryan's girlfriend, she walks in after Jolie leaves, but we still think Jolie's there.
She's so what did was she in on this? Did she know you guys were scared of her at the time?
No, she didn't even know we were even there in the house.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, that's even more Whoa. Impressive.
So Ryan's girlfriend, after she leaves, comes in and is like, "What are you guys doing?" It's like, "She's trying to kill us." Or that took me a second to get that out because I kept on saying just like bad trip, and they're like, "What are you saying? What's happening? Bad trip, man, bad trip." That's all I could say. And then Ryan's just like, "All right, calm down." He turns off the lights, and he has like Christmas lights hung up all around his house.
Nice.
And he puts on Hope's Fall, Magnetic North, and he's just like, "Just listen to this, listen to this." And so I lay down on his bed and just chilling with the lights on. I close my eyes, just like tripping hard. And then he puts this on, and like probably like 5 seconds in, I'm just like, "Oh my God, the universe just feels way better." I start hearing every single note and like every pitch would like come out to me. And I felt like every harmony going in, like every single note too. And it's like, "All right, cool. This is what music is supposed to sound like."
Excellent.
Rad.
Fuck yeah. That's funny. You saying that, cool. that you were just like, bad trip. That makes me think of this.
I was paralyzed. Oh. I was just paralyzed. Oh my God. I swear to God, I was just paralyzed. This is not good. Seriously, call the ambulance. I was just paralyzed. Seriously. Dude. No, I can't.
I was just stuck in time.
It was like that, except I was stuck in time with someone trying to kill me.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, crazy things
that
happen,
definitely
man.
Definitely ruined your trip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, but Hope's Fall turned it around.
Oh, yeah.
And it was beautiful.
It was like
life-changing.
Glowing. Like, yeah. I never listened to music the same since.
Yeah, yeah. I've had That's those awesome. Moments. I've had those moments on mushrooms. Those just life-changing things, listening to, like, oh, yeah, it's good stuff, man. Anyways, first track. I'm so stoked for this. The thing that brought him back from the brink of death. I love it already.
It's a perfect intro for sure.
Oh yeah, I can see how that... That was tasty.
Yeah.
like it. I like it.
It's like the biggest influence for fighting Cast Whisperer's DP.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Ooh. That was a ripper of a track.
Juicy.
No, that was really nice. I enjoyed that a lot.
Heck yeah.
Just heavy effects, but like not necessarily like heavy vocals whole time or anything like that.
No, yeah, I loved
it. It's very like melodic hardcore, but like clean vocals.
It's melodic hardcore to me, that's like prog metal. Like that's progressive. I wouldn't even call it metalcore. I mean, to me, that like, I don't know, man.
It's just its own thing. Like, there's nothing much like it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
That's pretty sweet.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's fucking rad.
Definitely influenced a lot of my writing and a lot of how I use like effects in a lot of my guitar work.
Fuck yeah. So when are you from Portland all like the time or
So I was born in Portland. When I was about 19, I moved to Hawaii for a little bit.
Cool.
I wasn't a big fan of it. My parents moved there when I was like eight, or right when I like turned 18 or so, and I stayed here. And I decided to try it out for a little bit. I was there for like 6 months or so. I was like, nah, not my thing. So I came back, got a job, but right before I started working, I ended up tearing my Achilles tendon. So I went back to Hawaii for about like 2 years and
would
come back and like visit for like a couple weeks at a time. But then after I did that, healed up and whatnot, came back and been just here since.
Cool.
That was about 6 years ago.
How'd you tear your Achilles?
So I was in this pop punk band called Chin Up Rocky for a while.
Okay.
And I quit when I first moved to Hawaii.
Sure.
And then when I moved back, they were doing some shows still, and they were playing something box over in Salem. And I decided to travel down there with a couple buddies, and I did guest vocals for one of the old songs that I wrote. And you know, I wasn't playing guitar or anything, so I was just going wild on stage. And a microphone cable got wrapped around my foot.
Holy shit. Freak accident.
Of course
dude.
It did.
Oh, dude, this doesn't happen to anyone. So a microphone cable gets wrapped around my foot, And when I go to do, you know, pop punk jump on stage, Jacob, the other vocalist, he was standing on the other side of the cable. So it just wrapped around my foot and just yanked my Achilles, and it just tore it right in half, ripped it right in half.
Oh, shit.
I finished the song, thankfully. I wobbled off stage, but then it took me like 2 months to get surgery because I didn't even know it was torn for like a month. I thought it was just sprained. So I'm like walking around with a torn Achilles. I'm like, I've sprained my foot before. It'll be fine.
Oh, fuck.
Surprise.
Oh, no.
Actually, when it first happened, I thought it was like a base cab that fell on my foot because it just felt like something heavy just hit me and just like, oh, I'm immobile now. I can't use that.
Fuck.
Because normally when that happens, you feel like there's something on you. I look back and it's like, no, there's no base cab on me. My foot looks fine.
Oh, fuck. Wow. That's crazy. Ugh. Oh, man. Well, how's it now? Like, you pretty good?
It's mobility? Fine. It's actually, it has better mobility than my other foot now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I kind of, like, overcompensated for it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Good.
You're like,
good.
I will heal stronger.
Yeah, I'm really good with just freak accidents like that, though.
That's awesome. When did you get into music? Was that a
long
time?
I've been into music for a long time.
Playing as well? Like,
Yeah. So, when I was, I think... I must have been nine. I got my first drum set.
Nice.
Cool.
Heck yeah.
It was a trash drum set, and I was trash at it, too. So my parents weren't very encouraging with it, which I totally understand because, I mean, it's a nine-year-old playing on a drum kit.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a shitty kit.
That's a shitty kit, too. So I ended up moving over to bass when I turned 10, and I was, like, saved up my whole entire summer working with my dad, building some stuff. And then I started playing bass, and like, all right, this is like the quietest instrument. This will be a lot better. I don't have to bother anybody this way. So I learned to play bass starting at 10, and I used to play in like a youth worship band back in the day. And then when I was about 16 is when I started playing guitars because I started my old band called, maybe about 15. I started my old band called Chin Up Rocky, and I was actually wanting to play bass when I first started it, but we needed a second guitarist that could play, like, I wanted to play ska in the band at first. But that didn't even happen, but we just needed someone that could play the ska rhythm stuff. I'm like, well, I got my brother's guitar, and I know how to do that. I could at least figure that out. So I started playing guitar from there. And then from there, I just haven't really played bass on that much. I just been like,
guitar player now.
Yeah, I mean, like, I still do it, like, the first EP, I recorded that all myself, so I recorded bass on it, and like I can still jam on it and have some fun on it, but I'm just like, I basically like sold all my bass gear, like put all of it towards guitar, my effects and whatnot.
Awesome.
And then
cool.
I didn't even start singing until I moved to Hawaii the first time because I finally got my first acoustic guitar when I was over there. And, like,
and everybody plays. And if you get acoustic guitar, you're going to sing too. Like,
Yeah. And it's like, well, I don't have a band behind me anymore, so I might as well like learn how to do it all myself.
Yeah.
So I started singing then. And that was probably when I was about 20 or so.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool, man. Heck fuck yeah. Yes. What made you want to like start playing music?
It's just like always been there.
Yeah.
My
parents musicians?
No, actually, neither of my parents are musicians. They don't know anything about music. But my
one of those.
Yeah, but my brothers were really into music. Got two brothers, and I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah. So they were really into music, and actually, I remember like I got that drum kit and everything, and you know, I wasn't allowed to play it most of the time. So my brother Nathan, he got a bass guitar that same year. And I remember grabbing that bass guitar and going into the living room and just pretending like I knew what I was doing. Just like total bliss. I don't know anything about music, nothing about guitar, nothing about how bad of a guitar that was or anything. So I'm running around playing bass, and I remember like Newfound Glory was like playing on in the background, and I'm just pretending like I know how to do that. I ended up getting this huge chunk in his bass, though.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
And I filled it in with, like, a black Sharpie, and just, like, nothing was said ever. It was like, oh, my God. Sorry, Nathan, by the way.
That's coming out now.
Coming out.
Breaking
dude,
news.
We won't, like, tag him.
I got another confession to make.
Yeah, we do that, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave does that.
That's good. I love those moments.
He flies all the way here just for that, you know. He came all the way down here.
We'll see you later, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
But stick close. There might be another one.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. So what were you music were you listening to then? Like newfound, like you said, Newfound Glory.
All
what was
just
that
like pop punk, alt rock, you know, early pop punk. So
when
like,
you were like 9, 10, like that was what you were listening
dude,
to.
Dude, MXPX was my shit.
Okay.
Like
okay,
I probably went to about 12 or like 13 different MXPX shows growing
cool.
up. Anytime they would come
That's
through,
rad.
I would see them. I remember seeing them in Illinois, a Cornerstone Festival. You know, it was like one of those like. All right, this is as like punk and aggressive as I could get as a good Christian boy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Gotcha.
I experienced
That's
some of those when for
but,
sure.
But I do remember the first CD that I ever owned was a hand-me-down of Third Eye Blind that my brothers gave me.
Legit.
So that
Legit.
Was like that. Yes. Ooh, I love that stuff. I
Third
loved,
Eye
like,
Blind's great.
Matchbox 20, I loved that.
Oh yeah.
Goo Goo Dolls.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. those good. Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh yeah, dude. Actually, for like the longest time, my Instagram handle was Scotty and the Brofish.
There nice. You go. There you go. That's beautiful. Sweet. That's beautiful. Yeah. And so now you're in Fighting Casper.
Yes, Fighting Casper is my main thing. I do vocals and guitar for it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And what? How would you describe your band? For people out there,
I mean, if you're gonna break it down super easy, just rock and roll. But if you're going yeah. down a little bit more subgenre and getting a little bit more specific, it's post hardcore with a punk rock edge and a post rock twist. Kind of like we'll still use effects and we get like heavy and whatnot, and we got some like fast parts and whatnot, but we aren't hardcore. We aren't really necessarily like pop punk or anything, but we definitely have those influence pulled from them.
I listened to, you know, I saw your guys' new music video, which I want to talk about that as well.
Oh, we will.
It's good, man. And I'm listening to it and I hear those things and I'm like, but you guys are doing time signature changes.
We're doing
you guys
some
are,
of that,
you
yeah.
know there's you're definitely you don't stick to a traditional songwriting stanza in how you write it. There's not really like a verse chorus thing.
Yeah, that's not my
thing. You're moving parts like you're multiple
cool.
moving parts that go together, and it's awesome music. Like I hear that and I'm like
I played a lot of music in high school too. Like I was in jazz band, I was in marching band, I was in symphonic band too.
Sure
So when I started listening to that, I started really getting into things that are in more progressions rather than just like having hooks and just like refrains and whatnot. So getting into like Hope's Fall, they do that quite a bit. That was one band that really like showed me, it's like, oh wow, you don't have to have like a chorus to be really cool. Or you don't have to have like the same verses for every verse.
You don't need hooks in the traditional sense.
Yeah, I mean, like the song that released there, the music video for Phoenix Down.
Yeah,
it's the second song that I ever wrote for Fighting Casper that has a chorus. Like it's not normally my thing, but a lot of times I'll hear choruses and it's like it's totally fine. I understand it. It's not the way that I like to write.
Yeah,
but like this, it repeats twice, and it's not even like the same the second time necessarily.
Mm.
But the way that I'm looking at with Casper is, my bass player Ken put it the best: is if you put a chorus in there more than two times, you're missing your point. Like you didn't get your point across.
Yeah.
And so
absolutely.
You know, I want things to be movements, and I like hooks and whatnot. But I'm trying to write music that I would like.
Beautiful.
Well, I mean, like,
no, that's a beautiful man.
I'm the way I look at it is, you know, music.
That's what it should be.
Yeah, it's not a growing industry to say the least. Like, it's everyone's grabbing for whatever that they can.
Yep.
I'm just gonna do whatever I like, no matter what, because either way, you know, I'm not like a 20-year-old pop star, so I'm not like looking to get really huge or anything. Yeah, so I'm just going to make stuff that I would want to hear.
Right, exactly. Right. That's it, man. And for you.
It's good.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you do, and so
feels the best.
So
sure.
you also did all the videography on that as well.
Yeah, my buddy Kendall helped film it, but yeah, my buddy Steven actually came up with the idea subtly. He was complaining about how there's so many bands that do like just generic music videos in a warehouse and whatnot. It's like it could look really cool. The camera angles can be awesome and whatnot. But I've seen it a million times.
Yes.
I'd rather watch someone make breakfast. So I was just like, oh, well, yeah, I could do that. So I decided to just have us play in the kitchen while my buddy Tyler was cooking breakfast.
Yeah, that was awesome. I loved it. It's
personality.
It was humorous.
It shows character.
Like it was humorous. Like I found myself like enjoying watching the antics, like and enjoying watching like how you guys like got in there to catch thing. Like you wanted to catch stuff that you guys were doing playing musically, but you also wanted to have breakfast being cooked in it, and like finding those things and like cool. I don't know, man. In a kitchen. That was brilliant.
Probably my favorite shot the whole entire time is when he's starting to put down some bacon and then I just slap it out of my
slap
it out of his hand with my guitar.
Those kind of things are just so funny.
We still
dude.
Use that piece of bacon too, so we didn't like put it too
Yeah, far. Yeah. Yeah, you have to. You had to cook it. You had to eat
can't
it.
Can't waste it.
Awesome. So when did you get into photography, making videos, videography?
So both of those are kind of separate. I got into photography when I was actually in Hawaii. My parents, they let me use their camera while I was there just to give me something to do because I didn't really know anyone over there at the time. So I went out, shot a bit, and then when I came back to Portland, I started going to community college and I took a class over there where it was a DSLR class and I got my first DSLR. I learned from there. Then I just started taking my camera to shows and just like, hey, I like doing this. This is fun. So I started taking it to local shows. And then eventually there's some local bands who were like, hey, would you like to come do this? We'll pay for you to do it. And it's like, yeah, definitely. That sounds fun. And after doing that for a while, there's a band called Divides that I worked with a bunch.
We know them. We're both from Alaska.
Yeah, we're Alaska.
You guys are everywhere.
Yeah.
Well,
Alaskans.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
No, it's cool. Alaska's chill.
It is.
I actually went up there with Noise Brigade last year to do a music
video. Yeah, you took their Offspring pictures, right?
Yeah, that was super fun.
Heck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I made a little music video for that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was made their video for... Oh,
thank you, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it was cool. It was a cool experience being able to like be in this huge fucking stadium seeing my homies like play to just thousands of people.
We watched from afar. It was awesome.
Right.
Super jealous of those guys. Being with Offspring, sharing the same stage. Like, geez, man. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Good stuff there.
So you so when did making music videos come into that?
Oh, so Divide, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Lost track there. So I was doing a bunch of photos for Divides, and then one time they're just like, hey, you want to do a music video for us? I'm like, In high school, I took like a couple video classes. I kind of know what I'm doing, so sure. So I helped out with that, and then eventually I did a second, I did a third one with them, I did a fourth one with them, and then I started doing it with other bands after that because it's like, wow, this is actually really fun. Like,
yeah,
I didn't do the editing at first, so it was really nice to be able to just like be in the video, just come up with cool ideas, and not have to worry about the post production or anything at first. And then, I just started doing that. And after getting some more gear and doing some more video work, I just realized it's like, this is way more fun and relaxing than actual, like,
work.
Other work. Like, I have to dive into this. So it was about last year. I was actually January 1st is what I consider the first day
If 2017?
Yes, 2017.
That's funny. Yeah.
So almost there. It's actually my birthday, too. And I decided to take the dive to just go completely like full time this and everything. And before, like I was doing barista stuff, I was going to school, I was doing a bunch of other things.
Odd jobs, small jobs.
I worked that a plumbing wages. Place for a yeah. little while. Like, yeah, mm-hmm.
cool.
Like, I worked in a warehouse. I've done a bunch of random stuff. I worked, like, when I was in Hawaii, I worked at a glass blowing studio.
Okay.
That's tight, though.
Yeah. So
that can
like,
make for some cool photos, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah. Fortunately, I didn't do the, like, much of photography, like, while I was working there. Uh-huh. But, yeah, so, like, all those things were, like, they're all right. They helped get me by, but I figured, like, if I could do this and just get by, you know, it's better than just getting by doing anything else.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So is that when Sleeper Studios started?
Pretty much. It was about like 6 months or a year beforehand that I actually
made
trans- them. Because yeah. it used to be called the Fight Design because it was Fight Cast.
Oh, Fight Design. Yeah, yeah.
yeah,
yeah okay.
Yeah. So I changed that up a bit just because I got better gear. Some of the old stuff at all. Show
yeah sure yeah.
So you know just rebranding and everything, so Sleeper Studios is pretty new though.
Cool That's awesome, man. Yeah, actually January 1st, December 31st, New Year's going in, that was of this last year was our very first episode too, so this
oh,
New
cool.
Year's we're celebrating. We have a episode next weekend and we're doing a 1 year anniversary episode too, so yeah man, you're this is episode 77.
Damn, been going at it.
We've been
harder in the paint.
Definitely.
Yeah, for a while we were doing.
We've been throwing down
for you know for a while we were doing two episodes a week.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's definitely Heck more yeah. than one a week.
Yeah, yeah, we were doing two episodes a week for quite a while. We would do you know guests on the weekends, and then we'd do like a shorter, almost half show, but no music or anything, just me and him talking. We called them bazookas, and we would just do a little bazooka episode for. That but a
lot of encouragement, a lot of like self motivation, how to stay positive.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we would
like,
use
yeah.
those to like talk
Don't
about
they.
Ourselves. That's where things like this come in,
buddy. Yo, everybody, what's up? How you doing out there? This is another journey through time and stuff. We got a sick beat just to make you guys feel good about yourselves.
I really like where
we want you guys
going.
To get hyped up. We want you guys to be like, oh man. Finally, maybe you're in your car, you know, maybe you're at the gym, maybe, who knows, but we want you to be excited
maybe
about
you're a
life.
Man.
Yeah, maybe you're a woman, maybe you're a man wanting to be a woman, or a woman wanting to be a man, it doesn't matter. All that stuff, it's soul, it's who. You be yourself, and you love that, and you go out into the world, and you spread your little seed, you make that seed a positive one, you make that tree cast shadows over the haters because they don't deserve the sun.
True that.
Right?
True that.
And you be that tree and you freaking soak in all those rays and you just get bigger, baby. You just get bigger.
At night when I'm holding my baby close to me, I hold it tight.
It's good. Is it on Bandcamp yet?
Real
no.
tight. And then we go on a journey through time and stuff.
Oh yeah,
that's good shit.
Oh yeah, that's our inspiration.
Random inspirational.
Yep. We make all this stuff, man. We have so many just clips and files and crazy things. Guests come in here and we do like skits and things with some of our guests and make funny,
that's
just
brilliant.
Crazy fake stuff. We have a like Kablarg, and it's this
a fake product.
It's a product line. It's like it's a does everything company, and they just kind of rename products that already exist.
Okay. Yeah, I heard it at the beginning. I thought I was like walking into like an episode of Rick and Morty.
Okay.
We yeah That's cool. we do cool weird stuff, but we just have I don't know weird weird. It's all fun. We just do this like you said. We do this for us for our entertainment and like. You know, we put it out there and people listen and, you know, we actually have listens from kind of all over the planet. Not
cool.
not like all a bunch of countries, but quite a few countries in Europe. And then we have like Thailand and Japan and
New Zealand
listens and Australia has some listens and Portugal.
That's awesome.
Just, you know, random countries out there.
How many states are we in now?
23 states.
We're almost at half the damn states.
Hell yeah.
It's not bad. I mean,
and you
less
know,
less than a year,
and it's not a lot of listeners,
no.
But they're they listen every episode. You know, we can track how who downloads from what and where, and we can see all those.
Shout out to if you're not from the U.S. or if you're not from Portland.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. What, I tell you what, the most consistent out, we have some listeners from the Netherlands.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's like four different people. And they're there just every week from the Netherlands.
Hopefully they all like hang out like in the same like pub.
Yeah,
something.
They might know each other. Who
Hopefully
knows?
They're buddies. They're like on the same soccer team or something.
I hope they're all in the same room and just play all at once from different like speakers.
Ooh, we could be in like super stereo. Super Dolby stereo. Dolby 4.1.
That'd be awesome.
Our show. That'd be great.
That'd be cool.
Fuck, man. This is fun.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we're going to listen to another track. I want to hear more of these guys.
Oh, these guys are awesome.
Tell us something else about them.
Let's see, about a year.
Have you ever seen them play live?
No, and it's a super big bummer. And about a year ago or so, like I said, they came back together, said that they were going to, they released that, so they're going to do some stuff. But I guess they all have families and whatnot, so it's just a long process. They said that they're going to release some things too. They showed some pictures just on their Instagram of like some drunk photos. But I know that it's just like, I know how long of a process it can be, and they want it to be perfect. So it's like, if you got families too, like, it takes a long time.
If you're a Tool fan, welcome to the struggle. The struggle is real.
I'm almost not a Tool fan because of that.
Yeah. Like, but hey, we are going to be seeing a new 2018 Tool record. The reason I know this is because Tom Morello is friends with Justin Chancellor of Tool. They're friends, and he heard the mastered music.
Oh, shit.
Music.
He came out and was like, it's real.
Music is done, and now fucking Maynard's in there doing vocals.
That's awesome.
And so we're going to see a 2018 release.
So it's not just bullshit.
No, it's for real. And the only reason I believe it, the only reason, like, even if I had seen only posts from Tool and they said, we're done, I would be like, you said you're not done, but Tom Morello said it.
It's like, okay, I trust this guy.
True. How could you not trust Tom Morello?
I mean,
master of the whammy pedal, man. I got one of those because of him.
Yeah, dude. Tom Morello is influential. Like, Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking amazing. And then Audioslave, actually, more for me. Like, I love Rage Against the Machine, but Audioslave was like, those are my jams, man.
I never got into Audioslave. Yeah. Like, I don't think I could say one song of theirs.
Bro, it's good.
Didn't for a long time. I held out like on their earlier shit.
Yeah.
Like a Stone and
like,
stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's just Audioslave,
I didn't like it until fucking Revelations, probably. And then I just started listening back. But I think it was like just my weird time period of growth throughout music. Like, know what I mean?
Like, totally. Like, there's a long time where I didn't listen to like any radio rock or anything besides like just like Third Eye Blind or like super safe alternative radio rock. Right. Because, you know, I was super like religious growing up. So stuff like, you know, Audioslave is just like, that's a little bit more risky. It's not Christian.
Right.
So I didn't get it.
Dude,
like,
check
like,
it out. It's also Chris Cornell singing.
Yeah, yeah.
So and I think that's like he was good in Soundgarden, but I think his best work is fucking Audioslave.
Oh yeah.
Like where he really shines, he was probably at the peak of his voice. And
would you say that he outshined?
Yeah. That was good. Did you say Vacation, Vacation, Vacation?
Yeah,
Vacation?
Actually, Outshined. That was the track that I did with the Portland community. It was a bunch of different members from a different bands. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
You guys did the tribute show, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a tribute show. It was actually a tribute album. It's available on iTunes and everything.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, Outshine was the track that I was able to do bass on, which was really rad. It was my favorite song. I don't know too much of them, but like at the time, that was like the only one that I ever knew. So yeah,
that's a good Soundgarden track, man.
Yeah.
It's good.
Riffs for days, man.
Yep.
It's all about riffs.
It is, man. Those guys were good. Yep. The grunge life. Kind of post-grunge. I don't know. They were grunge.
They were grunge. I call it that.
But they were a different class of grunge than, like, say, Pearl Jam.
Oh, absolutely. They just did it differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. pretty good. I think it was the vocals. I think that's what it was, is because Chris could actually sing compared to like some of the other guys.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, them and Alice in Chains, right?
Alice in Chains.
You got to throw it up to them.
Yeah. Vocals on that, so fun.
Oh, yeah. Dude, basically anything that he sang was gold.
Oh, yeah. Solid.
Yep. All right, man. We're going to listen to the second track, Vacation. Vacation.
Yes.
I also love clever track titles. And these guys, I was reading through these. They have some really interesting track titles.
Swamp Kittens.
Swamp Kittens. Yeah,
love
that was
that song.
And the vinyl's orange.
Yeah.
We never said that shit.
With some purple splatter.
That's cool.
This is probably my favorite one because it kind of helped me transition into like a pop punk into more of a post-hardcore and post-rock feel. So when I was in Hawaii, a big thing that I did was I relearned how to play the drums after that big gap of not being able to play, and this whole album was basically how I relearned how to play drums.
Gotcha. Just trying to play along with what there is.
Oh, like every moment that I could. Even when I came back to Portland, I was on the bus a lot, and I was just always jamming out to that, like with my hands and everything. It's probably the only album I know front to back, like everything on the drums.
That's good. Great song.
That was sweet.
Another banger.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. These guys put out fire. I love it. I'm gonna actually start listening.
It's good.
Give some real listen now.
What's crazy,
go back.
Though,
his vocals were definitely like different.
Yeah, this
at the
one
beginning,
is a lot more,
especially
like,
at the beginning.
Yeah,
of the track,
a lot
too.
A lot poppier, I would guess.
Yeah. Sure, a little more mainstream. Cool. Like,
yeah, yeah. And that's kind of more like
contemplative.
Yeah, you know, after doing the Shroom Trip and everything, going back to it, since it had a little bit more hooks and everything, it was easier for me to kind of like get into it at first. So it was like, okay, now it's broadening my horizon to all the other stuff.
And another thing you note is I love that it's a two-disc album. Like, it's they I love that they put 13 songs.
Dude, two of those tracks were actually unreleased until they released that vinyl.
The vinyl.
I mean, I think they were online somewhere, but
sure. Saskatchewan and the unnamed Saskatchewan demo.
And yeah,
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan,
It's a province in Canada.
Oh, really?
Saskatchewan.
Is that what it is? Oh. Yeah. Damn.
From being an Alaskan, we know some stuff about Canada.
Nope, I just see some of the letters in there. I'm like, that looks like that word.
Yeah, no, it's Saskatchewan. That's a cool name,
the
man.
The more you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's an Inuit word.
That's cool.
Just saying. Sorry, guys. too much. So something I found cool as I was being Snoopy and we like confirmed that you were doing this, and I was looking through your photos, I was checking you out, and on your Facebook about you, you put you're a humanist, and I don't know, I love it. I just because
I forgot that's even there.
Yeah, because I don't know almost anybody who would does label themselves that, even though they probably are.
Yeah.
They just don't do it. And I want to ask, like, what's that? Is that
I think it just more skips a lot of the political bullshit. It's just like, I'm just about basic human rights, and I'm just about, you know.
Mm. Care for people's rights.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good. No, I love it, dude. That was, I saw it, and I was like, all right, man, this guy's cool. Yeah.
He's done
good
things.
He's good. He
perpetuates good health.
Oh, I try. That's awesome. I don't like talking bad health.
No.
Right.
So
never get down on that.
No, man. I love it. There's
besides injuries, those are kind of fun to talk about.
Right.
But that's kind of different.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you do outside of this? Do you have hobbies? I want to know some of the other side of you. What do you do?
Dude, I mean, like, what photo and video, music, it's all like a big.
Would you say like 80%?
Probably 80% of my life, maybe like 85% of my life.
Well, you say you play Rocket League.
Yes. The other 15 is definitely video games.
Dude, good. I so get that because, I just got fucking Rocket League.
I have never played it. I'm an Xbox guy as well. I just watch him play, and he's a ninja. It seems to me like flipping cars and like that game's intense. That game's intense.
Okay, so I'm not the best at like the normal mode, but get me down on that like Mario Kart style one, like the Battle Royale one. I kill at it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, because I haven't even fucked with that yet, dude.
Oh, dude, it's the best part
like,
of the game.
I've played one game because, like, one day I went through the achievements, and I was like, all right, some of these are pretty sick. Oh, shit, that has 75 gamer points? Oh, fuck, that's like 3 minutes, or 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's just rocking, like, you know, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, 3-on-3 soccer and shit
like
that.
Yeah, which, like, those are fun, but, like... it takes a different kind of
I like finesse. The hockey one.
The hockey one's fun too, dude. There's the basketball one, I think
it
was.
That one's
hard, yeah.
How in the hell,
dude? The hockey one's hard too.
Yeah. The puck is a bitch.
Yeah. It doesn't just fly up in the sky like how the ball does. Yeah.
If for those of you who don't play and are wondering what the fuck they're talking about.
It's a car game.
They're cars.
Rocket
and they have
jargon.
And they're rocket powered. They can jump up high. They have boosters that you can pick up on the field. And you're literally on like a soccer field in the normal like version, I guess. There's special editions and stuff. And they're literally like playing soccer with a ball. They can bounce it up. They can headbutt it. They can flip their car and like boot it sideways. They can get.
Yeah, it's like bumper carts with like RC car kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're driving an RC car.
Soccer and. A little bit of like Mario Kart
and Demolition Derby.
Yeah, yeah, definitely that.
Because like you guys can blow each other up and hit just ram into each other and like it's an intense fucking game.
Plus,
man.
It's strategic as fuck.
Yeah, it's my favorite like kind of like zone out and just do nothing else game. Like I'll put like I'll put like some like show on the background because I'm terrible at watching movies. Like,
do you fall asleep?
I get bored, dude. Like,
yeah,
dude,
me
like
me too.
So. I have to get up like every like 20 minutes or so. Like I just can't sit down for a long time. Like I just get really restless. So like during a movie, like especially if there's like long silence or anything, I'm like, oh man, something happened. I just, all right, well I'm bored. And then with TV shows, it's a lot easier to just like dedicate like 20 minutes or so. And then especially like comedy is like, I love shit like Futurama.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, Rick and Morty, like I said. Or, well, Workaholics, like I said before, Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Do you
like
get into BoJack the Horseman?
Dude, BoJack's great.
I tried to watch it once, couldn't get into it.
Oh, man, I love it.
I don't know. Maybe I have to give it another try. I hear rave things.
I'm pretty sure, like, Todd's my alter ego.
Todd, okay. I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's amazing.
You watch any like Netflix at all? You ever see Stranger Things, I guess?
I still haven't watched the second season. Gotcha. I'm really bad at keeping up with hype. When someone has hype on the internet or something, I'm like, okay, I'll get to it eventually. And then I just forget about it.
What about
once the hype falls off, I just totally completely forget.
You a Game of Thrones-er as well?
Dude, honestly, that shit's too much to take on.
Yeah.
I got into the first like four seasons. Actually, when I was in Hawaii, I remember being on like painkillers and watching like the third and fourth season and having to watch it like two or three times because it was like, wait,
it's a lot going on.
What happened? Oh, yeah. I totally just kind of like zonked out.
Yeah.
But no, I just don't like those shows that have a bunch of like cliffhangers after every episode and then you have to wait like another week for the next show. I like it condensed, packed into one thing.
You want to be able to binge it.
Yeah, yeah.
Get it out of the
but
watch
I don't,
it.
I don't want to be able to like binge it in like 2 years worth. Not like how like Star Trek is, where there's just so many episodes. It's like, nah, this is way too much to take on. Or like Doctor Who is like that.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah,
yeah, true.
So
I love Doctor
good show,
Who
though.
Yeah,
but it's
I couldn't get into
so
it. But Firefly,
fast.
Firefly is my favorite like series of all time. Short, condensed. It has finish. It has a start. It's
you
like
pissed
a complete
they cut
thing.
It off the air. You want it back?
Yeah.
Do you want it back?
I don't know if it would be the same.
I see a lot of people out there in the Firefly universe like, can't believe it was cut. It's great.
Oh, it was great. It shouldn't have been cut. But like, you know, they came back. They did a movie for it.
Sure.
Came a little bit more of a completion to it. They had some comics too that I got, which were great too. But it was, you know, I feel like if they just did any more, it would just be like milking it and just try and make money off of it rather than like the actual story of it. But who knows? Joss Whedon's—he's all over the place.
Fuck yeah, man! Cool. What other kind of things you into? What enjoyments, pastimes?
Up until recently, I've been really into longboarding. I had a couple bad accidents, so I've been kind of like calming down on that. So no more bombing hills. I had to get stitches on the top of my head.
What?
Wrecked
hard, huh?
Oh, dude, I wrecked.
But how did, like, you were upside down?
Dude, so I was bombing a hill. I was probably going about like 25 miles per hour. So like I was going fast.
No helmet.
Oh, no helmet, of course, because I'm a fucking idiot.
No, why would you, man? You're on a longboard.
No,
it's longer.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm not.
You're only going 25.
I'm not doing tricks. Why do I need a helmet?
Sure.
This is why. This is exactly why, kids. So I'm going down this bike path near Gateway area in Portland, and I get the death wobbles, and it's like, well, fuck, I don't know what to really do. If I go to the left, it just kind of like valleys off, and it's just like a big ditch. So it's like, I'm just going to roll down that. That's not going to be fun. If I go forward, it's just going to be cement. And then if I go to the right, it's just like a chain link fence and with just a bunch of like sharp rocks on the side. Which, mind you, about a month before this happened, I crashed in the same spot. Like the same exact location.
You wanted to conquer it again.
Yeah, I wanted to conquer it again. So that first time I ended up I chose the chain link the first time, and then I ended up like, you know, I'm pretty sure I tore my rotator cuff a little bit.
Ugh.
But this time, the second time when I got stitches, I decided I'm just going to try and run with it. Try and run with the board as much as I can. I make it like two steps and I collapse just because I can't fucking run 25 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And so I just somersault with it, and I just like just keep rolling with it. And I had a hat on at the time; it was just a trucker hat. And if I didn't have that on, my head, the top of my head, probably would have just got skinned bad because it was like right after I cut my hair super short too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There's like no protection. Nothing. There's nothing there. And so the top of my head hit the button of my hat, and then
cuss button.
Yeah. So that ended up actually making the whole entire like cut into a star shape instead of an actual like slice open cut or anything.
Oh.
So when I go into the doctors, they're just telling me, it's like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And then when the actual
this is interesting. Well,
they have a council of a bunch of white men in coats, like interesting. Yeah,
well, then
taking pictures and shit.
Like, person that was actually stitching it up, they're like, oh, I'm excited. I don't normally get to do these kind of stitches, the star shaped ones. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I guess.
Whoa.
But yeah, so I got, I think it was like four or five stitches on the top of my head from there. And now I seldomly ever longboard.
If you do, do you wear a helmet?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Or just don't go down hills.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Not very.
That's good.
Steep ones.
I've never had to get too many stitches. I got hit in the head once when I was a little kid. And actually, I hit myself in the head. I was riding a snowboard, but it was one of those, remember those stupid short tie-dyed snowboards? Like the yellow, crazy, shitty tie-dyed ones with the rope handle on the front?
Mm-hmm.
Bad idea, because your feet aren't attached to it. So when you wreck, the board can just go anywhere. And if you don't let go of the rope, it slingshots back at you and hits you in the head.
Yeah, those were terrible. Found out that the hard way. Terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I got two stitch stories. One, I was like 3 years old, and I used to like, I couldn't even fucking hardly move around probably, but I was like rolling and doing flips off the couch and then onto like some pillows, and I hit my head on the fucking coffee table and I split my lip, and I still like can't grow like hair in my
that's like brutal.
Goatee, because I like just blew it open, I guess. Then the other one, when I got hit by the damn car.
On a bicycle. He was on a bicycle and got hit by a car here.
Yeah, dude. In Portland.
That's happened to like five people I know here.
Uh-huh. It's,
and they ran. They didn't even stick around.
Nope.
Ooh.
I went right over the car hood with the bike.
Damn.
And I probably scratched the shit out of it.
It's like, nope, don't want to deal with this.
But the pedal dug into the back of his leg.
Yeah, the reason why the bike followed me is because of it, the bike pedal
hooked
into the back of my calf right here.
Oh, brutal.
And just like drug across the hood. And it was pretty intense.
Do you get grossed out?
Yeah, I don't want you to pass out.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, cool.
No,
it's
dude.
Not that bad.
I've had like MRSA in my hand and have like three surgeries.
Check,
on
dude,
leg.
Check that out. That is his leg.
That
just stitches like crazy. I was right there watching her do it, like up close.
Let me see. It's been a while. Yeah, that's pretty gnarly.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It was just big enough. And yeah, she's measuring it. It's 5 centimeters across.
It's like you get hit by a car.
I think
that's
I got
not exactly the injury that I
show
would
them
expect.
The scar. It's the raptor claw.
Yeah, it's cool. I want to
get it's fucking
claw.
Awesome.
I get a tattoo
of like it looked like it's torn with a raptor hand.
That's rad. Oh, damn. That's
right. It's fucking intense.
Oh, there it is.
It's fucking intense, man. Tore right on the back of his shit.
Straight up raptor claw.
Yep. And then the only thing...
It healed well.
I had one that was pretty recent. I crushed my toe at work. Ooh. I had a fucking big different car differential mechanic.
Way
and
worse.
So, and
this
so,
is way worse than mine.
And so I had a fucking... I was working on it, and it was in a vise, and like I was tightening some shit, and I had to torque the nut really, really tight, and the vise broke, and the big metal differential like spun out and came crashing down on my toe. And only one toe, and it's my like right next to my big toe on this foot.
Okay, yeah.
Fucked it up, dude. Flattened it.
Damn.
Like imagine like a grape, and I'm gonna show you this picture because I want your reaction on this.
Oh,
when you see this fucking thing.
I want to see this.
It is my best and worst injury I've ever had.
Low key, I love seeing shit like that.
Good, good. Because this one is a fucking beauty.
He
this
fucked
is,
it up.
This is right after, and you can go ahead and zoom in on this shit. I'll let you play with it. But this is right after I was in the ER, and they had just sprayed it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they had to, like, clean it, and, like, the catch pan they had underneath to catch it, and they're sitting there with a jet just spraying my toe.
I can only imagine. Ugh.
And then I could hear chunks of my bone falling out of my toe.
No. Oh my god.
Yeah,
look at that, dude.
Holy,
that's fucking
shit.
Blown out.
It just blew.
How well did it heal up?
Like, dude, I'll show you. It's a nub now.
Oh my
it's
god,
a nubbage.
It, yeah. How do you recover from it?
It got
it
bigger.
Took weeks, dude. It took weeks.
But like, it's like this big. It doesn't look like any of my other toes, and like, there's a shitty nail growing, and then there's a scar all the way down the back side of my toe, and it's just.
Dude, that's still actually a lot better than I thought it
would
be.
Yeah, but like, it's just fucking fat and like...
Oh, no, yeah. It looks like it could almost, like, grow into, like, two toes there.
Some people have thumbs that look like that.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Dude, it was crazy. I was just fucked up, dude. But I was just fucked up.
Dude, wild.
And then, like, what happened was I was at work and it happened and, like, it hit, but it was, like, so fast and, like... I was like pulling my toe away, like my foot away, because dude, it could have like crushed the arch of my foot, and
yeah,
I would have been like done. But it only caught the tip of my toe, which is weird. And I was like, "Fuck!" And then I like tried to shake it off, and so I was walking around, and like I was walking on it. It was like that in my shoe.
Oh,
I didn't know, and I just thought it like. Hit it. I didn't think it was going to be that bad. And I was like shaking it off. And then I stood there for a second and like tried to wiggle it, you know, to see if it was broken. And I could feel like it didn't really even hurt yet, but I could feel something in my shoe, like at the tip of my shoe, like touching my other toe. And I thought, okay, maybe my nail came off. You know, it got crushed. Maybe the nail came off. And I was like, oh, I got to look. So I took my shoe off. If it was going to be that bad, I was going to tape it up, keep going with the day. I was working on a customer's car. And, like, I take it off. And then when I pull my shoe out,
everything.
I could see, like, I didn't even take my sock off yet. And I could see part of my nail and part of my toe sticking up through the sock.
Oh, my God.
And, like, some of the sock was definitely, like, pushed down into my... And I was like, oh, this is bad. And so then I take off my rubber gloves, you know, and then I fucking take off my sock and like have to like peel it off of my toe and like push some of the stuff back through. And like then it's like really starting to hurt. And so I'm looking at it and like as soon as I take my it just falls off the side.
Oh.
Like half of my toe that you saw on the outside just fell off,
yeah,
dude. And like it was and I was like, what the fuck do I do? And so I just... With my left hand, I just grabbed my toe. I was sitting like this and looking at it on my workbench, literally like this, and I just grabbed it. And then I like, had to like poke some of it up in there and like basically reassemble it. And then I just squoze it as tight as I could, dude. I just sat there and I was just fucking squeezing it. And I was in my shop by myself in the back of the building. The stereo was going. The compressor was on. Like there was noise happening everywhere, and I was the only one back there.
No,
and I was just sitting there, like, what the fuck do I do? And like, so I kind of like got myself up. I hopped across the shop on one foot, still holding my toe. Turned the compressor off. Went back. Turned the radio off, and called up front. Like, I need someone to come back here with some gauze. Like, don't freak out, just come back. And they came back, and then I like looked at it again after like probably 5 minutes of holding it, and it was bleeding a little bit at that time, but like it was just dude, it was hamburger, man. It was crazy.
Well, dude, the best way that I would describe the picture that you showed me was it's like the end of a used cigar, but just fleshy looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like and with a split in the middle of it.
I kind of described it like a hot dog that's been boiled too long.
Oh, yeah, almost like burst open right
at
the end.
Burst open right at the end.
Everyone's done that, I think.
Yeah.
Microwave.
You know,
microwave
a hot dog for too long, it blows up at the end.
It
was crazy, man.
Dude,
oh my God.
So I had MRSA in my hand for a little while.
Bad staff,
dude,
man. That's crazy.
Yeah,
how'd you get it? Do you know?
I was working with coffee, and I was lifting a machine that does like a Frappuccino kind of mixed thing. And I sprained my finger. That was it. Like, it was like, oh, wow.
No cut?
No cut or anything. But, like, the edges of the machine, they're kind of sharp. I was like, that kind of hurt. But, I mean, more of a sprain or a little twist. I'm like, okay, well.
Oh, but it didn't actually, like, cut your skin?
No.
Oh, crazy.
It could have been a micro cut, the doctor said. But, so, I just went about my day. I kept on working. And then, like, a couple days later, it's just, like, keeps getting worse. And it just starts swelling up. And then I'm, like, having to, like, work with, like, a sling on my arm and having to, like, you know, do coffee, which you can't really do that way.
And so you're like, you thought it was broken or something?
I thought it was just a sprain. So it was like, all right, well, it'll get better. So then I ended up going to the doctors. I got a couple different antibiotics. But then about a week later, my hand was about the size of a softball.
Holy
and
shit.
It started swelling up so bad. I said I tore my Achilles tendon. I've broken my hand a different way. Like I, a bunch of tattoos on me and everything. Like pretty decent with pain at this point.
Yeah.
This was the most painful thing I've ever experienced because it's like a bacteria that's literally eating you from the inside out.
Yeah.
By the way, most of the first EP is about this.
Yeah.
So I finally end up going to the doctors and the ER, and they're like, all right, we have to do surgery on this like now. So I had
to like relieve pressure, or what do they have to do?
So they had to basically cut my hand open so they could release it and drain all of the liquid out of it and drain all of everything out of it. So I had the first surgery from there. I was in the hospital for a couple days. And then I was still there. And then they're like, all right, well, we're going to have a second surgery. So I had a second surgery. And then after the second surgery, they said that they might have had to have a third one, which if I did, which I didn't, my hand would just be like completely crippled. Like I wouldn't have been able to do like anything. So after that second time, they finally unwrap my hand, and I look at it, and it's just like, holy shit, this is an episode of The Walking Dead on my hand right now. Like, this is just bloody, and just like, so they take the tube out, too, which is the most uncomfortable feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Because it's like man.
The best way that I would describe it is, everyone's had it, don't lie if you have, everyone's done it. So, have one of your snot rockets way up in there, like up in your nasal cavities, and you pull it out, and it feels like it's just like coming out of your brain almost.
When I was a kid, I used to snort spaghetti noodles, and then you could snort spaghetti noodles, thinner ones that weren't cooked all the way. That way, they're pretty strong still, and then you go to the, and then it comes down. And you could pull it. Man, and I used to do that when I was a kid. I know exactly the feeling.
Oh my lord.
You could do a top ramen noodles too. They were really good for it.
Imagine that feeling, but coming out of like the palm of your hand.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh no, this isn't right. This should not be happening. You are violating me in so many ways.
Oh jeez.
That does feel gross.
I couldn't even imagine tubes in my hand, man.
But yeah, so I ended up being, they call it a mid-carpal amputation or partial mid-carpal amputation. So I don't have like the full tendon in my hand there. So it doesn't like go out all the way. I can't like put my hand down flat completely on surfaces. But
gotcha.
But I can still play guitar. And that's what matters.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's fucking it, man.
Heck yeah.
Man, that's the one thing I'm scared. Like, fuck my foot. I could, you know, like, if it was going to be any worse, I was just going to tell him to cut the fucker off.
Oh, yeah.
I really was, because like how blown apart it was. I was like, if the bone damage was too bad or something, I was just going to fucking cut that.
Well, you said like it was stubbed, so I was expecting it to be like just like half a toe or something.
No, no.
Like, man, I'm surprised how much like
all they did. Yeah, well, they took all the meat and they just cleaned out, because it was an ER. I didn't go like see a foot. Oh, I did go see a foot doctor. I had to see him a couple times, but he was just checking healing progress and like,
okay, yeah.
You know, then he took like, basically I went to an orthopedic guy after because the ER, all they did is like, from what you saw, they just took it up and he put 5 stitches, just like,
Jesus,
just
five,
five, and damn, just like barely held it together. And then they just wrapped band-aids around and said, keep it clean. And so like, dude, for months, well, no, probably a month solid, every day I had to go sit in a bathtub and have Beth come help me for most of the time. And like, I had to sit there and spray water in it and scrub it out. And like, oh, crazy.
That's
shit.
Similar to what with my hand was with MRSA for about about a month and a half or 2 months. I had to do baths with my hand. So I just have to like get hot water and put some like soap that they had in there in a little bucket. And I would have to clean out everything in my hand, and I just have to soak it there in like 10 minutes or so every day. It's like twice a day.
Fucking painful, man.
But I mean, I don't have MRSA now, so that's pretty dope.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yours wasn't resistant enough.
Yeah.
Woo. That's good, man. So what drives you to keep doing it all? Like, what is your I don't know. What keeps you going? What keeps you wanting to be creative?
Honestly, the MRSA thing was a big life-changing thing for me because I was in the hospital for a total of a whole week. And there was a couple times, and like going in there, like before I went into the ER, I thought I was going to die. Like,
did you have like fever and shit? And
no, it was just like,
just all in your hand.
It was just throbbing so hard that it just like started, I started feeling kind of everywhere. It was just like, there's so much pressure built up that it felt like my whole entire arm was just about to explode.
Oh man.
So, and then, there's a couple times where I just thought that I could die. There's a couple times in the hospital where it's just like, well, this is it. I don't know if it's going to get any better than this. And after having that near-death experience, it really changed my outlook on things, how limited my time is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how I need to really just spend it doing the things that I like to do, because I don't know when I'm going to get a random infection and die.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The brevity of life is something that I think everybody should think about.
Yes.
Like, absolutely. How we use our time.
Yeah, and
is important. Like, what you do with it.
And like, even before, I felt like I wasted a bunch of time when I tore my Achilles tendon, because like, I was like, I literally couldn't get up anywhere.
Sure.
And so it was just like, this is another injury that's just like screwing with me hard. And it's like, no, I can't let this like get to me or anything. So that was a big changing point for me.
Excellent. Excellent, man.
And as far as other things go, like what really keeps me going is just trying to keep the mentality that in some way I'm helping like the art survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that is cool, man.
Not just in music, but like
in art and
art in general.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I find it commendable that you have your projects that, you know, is your brain, and like everything you touch, everything has your hand in it, but yet you can also help artists in general be artists too. By doing music videos and taking photos of them is you're making people stars, but you're doing, like, you know, it's your art. Like,
yeah, that's what I wanted the most is I don't, you know, like I said before, like I'm not really like super fond on like trying to get super big or anything. That's not really my goal. I find it more of my goal to try and help out the community and in the music, and that's as much as I can do. It's like I could find my talents, I could put my skills together, and this is a way that I could help people do what they want to do and help
Beautiful.
Them strive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man, that's sweet.
Fuck yeah.
Do it for Portland, or you know,
do it for everything.
At.
You know, fuck yeah. We have one more track. Want to do it?
Yeah, let's see. This one's a weird title. It's what? East Bay of... No, I'm going to get this wrong.
It's East of 1989.
That's right.
Battle of the Day. Battle of the Bay. Yep. East of 1989, Battle of the Bay.
I'm slightly dyslexic, so like that, I'll read shit like that. I'm like, all right, I'll remember it once, and then it's like, oh, all the words just got jumbled. All right,
yep.
What happened?
Yep. Lysdexic. Gotcha. Sorry. Bad joke.
Oh,
that sounded normal.
Oh, no.
Not the guitar. Man.
Yep. Things happen.
At least you could use that as a sound sample now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This thing's been all over the world, and it's got quite a bit of bumps.
Thank you. Nice.
I love all the effects they use, like heavy emo.
Yeah.
Dynamics and like best placement for them.
Yeah, that was good. I like the tone on the bass too.
Yeah, that does sound nice.
The perfect amount of distortion.
Yeah. Not too
much. A little bit of chorus. I love it, and all man.
Great thing about them is they don't write at least on that album, like they don't write the same song twice.
That's exactly what I was just gonna say. Musically awesome, harmonically awesome, sonically awesome, and diverse.
Yeah,
like
it still like has something that ties it all together.
Yeah,
but everything still sounds different.
Mm. Yep. I like it. I love that they use different effects on every song.
Yeah, they're pretty. Yeah.
You know, they use different bass tones on every song or on the ones we heard. Like they're not just picking the same tone, same rig, same setting, and recording all their songs through that one thing and never changing it for the song.
Yeah, but also you could say like, but you still could tell it was them. Like,
it absolutely was. Yeah.
Especially with the drumming. Like, I don't know, you just like. And the dynamics, I guess.
Yeah, the drum is very
maybe
like,
that's
unique
where you
style
could tell.
There, where just like it really grooves along with what the guitars are doing a lot more than normal.
Well, I think it,
and then
I
it also does the, like some
it,
of those.
It is a guitar band,
too.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of colorful off snare, which is great.
That's what really like
really cool stuff.
But I do like that the kick goes with the guitar chugs.
Yeah,
the driving kick of the drums I felt was really worked. On the it brought the rhythm of the guitar out through the whole music.
This band, they've had a couple different vocalists too, and they've had some different lineup changes, and every single
this guy your favorite vocalist?
Oh yeah, because this album's my favorite album ever.
Yeah,
beautiful.
But every single album of theirs sounds almost completely different, though.
Yeah.
So, like I was saying, like, all their songs do, like, on top of that, like, all their albums, too. The album before this, it sounded a lot more like mainstream, like, early 2000s radio rock kind of
gotcha.
But then the album before that was just straight like melodic hardcore, but just like screaming the whole entire time almost.
Cool.
It was just like super heavy and just like still had a lot of effects and everything, and there's still some things that tied it in musically, especially guitar wise.
Yeah,
but yeah, like completely different.
Fucking yeah, man. Thank you for introducing that. That's...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, not that I don't enjoy every vinyl we get, but we've only had a couple guests bring their own, you know, not many of them have. And this is the first one that I didn't know who the band, at least have not somewhere knowing
them.
Yeah,
I saw that a lot of the ones that you've had on before were more classics and whatnot, which is exactly. I really like those and whatnot, but I mean this one hits me like spiritually.
Yeah, it's always cool.
That's what we wanted. Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we want to be as diverse as possible. Yeah. So
Hopes Fall, check it out.
So it is the Christmas season for many people who do celebrate it, but it's, you know, New Year's and everything. Do you enjoy this time of year? Do you get festive?
It's a weird time of the year for me. My birthday's on New Year's.
Right.
So it's always been kind of weird growing up with that, because like I felt like as a kid it's like, oh, my birthday is kind of getting overshadowed by all this happening.
Yeah.
But growing up it started getting a lot cooler, and like when I was finally turned 21 it was fun for me, and like I actually got to be part of the fun rather than like all my friends being like, oh, I can't hang out, I'm hungover. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it's definitely an interesting time for me. So, like, I'm not, like, super festive with Christmas or anything. I'm not really big on that. But I like doing shit sometimes with, like, family. Like, last year, I'm going to probably do it this year again with Noise Brigade.
Yeah,
I went out, handed out hamburgers and cheeseburgers to homeless people. And was like, I feel like that's more festive and fun than, like,
that's it, man.
Sitting at the family dinner table talking politics.
That's it. No, I don't like the... I don't, you know, we did the traditional Christmas thing, I guess, that every...
We did this year.
You know, this is the first year here since we've lived here that we got a real tree. We just did it just because I hate Christmas shopping. I hate dealing with the things. I hate the music. I mean...
I told Jada we're going all online.
That's how I do
it. Next year.
Or most part, I just tell people, like, look, my gift to you is that you don't buy me anything, and my gift to you is I don't buy you anything. We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I actually was thinking about that I'll probably, like, I've already decided that next year I'm just going to make people things.
I'm gonna
hand make everything I'm gonna give next year.
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna go out and buy anything. I'm just gonna spend this whole year just making shit for people, and then just send them that, because I don't want a Christmas shop. I don't want to give to the fucking complex that is the industry of making people pay more for stuff in this time of year just to feed a wand of products. Like,
it's almost it's almost like war.
I don't like it at all.
Money machine.
I don't like that there's a mindset that there's value to getting things.
Retail war.
Yeah.
To possessions. Possessions don't have value. Like, you know, in life, and actually what matters in life, possessions mean nothing. So the fact that
it's
was
all
people,
about the hangs, man.
Some reason the U.S. dollar goes down. Stuff. It's like, all right, well, my bank's empty. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, it's definitely about, I don't know, it's the mentality of a lot of times things you own, they end up owning you.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I just don't like doing that too much. And even myself as a musician, it's hard because it's like there's so much gear out there. I want all the gear. And it's like I got to really hold back.
Well,
it's a fine line too.
There is, because, you know, if you're being innovative and you're trying to look for new sounds, the more pedals you try and the more things you have and you can possibly use to create a vaster sound is necessary. It's a bigger toolbox. Exactly. I'm the same way in buying tools for working on cars. Like, I have to have tools for everything. because I don't know what kind of car I'm going to get, but then I see a cool tool come in.
Then you also don't want like something cheap that's going to break.
No,
on
you. No, no. You don't want to, you don't want cheap ones because you have to use them all the time. And like I see cool tools and I'm like, man, I want to buy that because I could use it once.
Yeah.
If I need it, I could use it.
I'm almost the same exact conversation with my dad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's fucking crazy.
He has like tools for car parts that he's like only had to install once or something like that. I'm like, Well,
me too. Fucking
always be ready.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely as a musician, it's really hard to try and pull back and be like, all right, I don't need all this. Like, I ended up selling a bunch of my old, like, just like mediocre gear. Like, I had some like old guitars. I was like, okay, I really don't need all of this. What I'm going to do is just like sell all of this stuff that I don't really have too much value with and then just kind of upgrade instead. So like I just sold my old 7-string guitar and I just ordered another one. So
cool. What brand?
Ibanez. It's an Ibanez iron label. Nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Comes with the bare knuckle pickups in there, Aftermath. Yep. So yep. I'm super excited on that. Love bare knuckle pickups.
It's a straight scale.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, so I ordered an Agile.
Yeah.
I was super disappointed with it.
Didn't like it.
No, it was so, it had all of these cool specs on it. Like it was a multi scale. It had a Kaler bridge on it. It had some EMGs on it. I really didn't like the EMGs to start with.
Sure.
The multi scale, it just felt like if I played it long enough, I'd get a little bit more used to it. But I felt like this one in particular, they like overcompensated for it being a multi-scale.
Okay.
So like not everything's really intonated the way that it should be. Like,
sure.
Like my guitar came in the mail and like, you know, half of the strings were like, you would go up to an octave higher and it'd be like half a step off.
Oh.
And it was like, ooh, this is not good. So I have to like sit there intonating it and just like, this still doesn't really work very well. So just returning that and getting Ibanez. I'm like, this has a better name to it.
Yeah, I'm actually... My next bass I'm gonna get an Ibanez. I've decided. I've looked at a lot of basses, played a lot of different ones. Yep.
Ibanez is good. I always gave Ibanez a bad name because like in guitar class, so I had a guitar class in high school, and everyone that had an Ibanez, they would have like the $200 shitty Ibanez with like Floyd Rose on it.
Yeah.
And so like for the longest time, I was just like, nah, Ibanez suck. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, more access to the internet. And then it was like, oh, whoa, those are
Ibanez actually makes good guitars. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's cool, man. Fuck yeah.
I got another confession to make.
Dave's back.
What's your, this is going to be question time. We do this to people.
Shit.
Question
time. Oh, shit.
This is the best part. What's your most favorite food and then your least favorite food? So something that you just love to eat and then one thing that you'll just never fucking eat.
Oh, this is easy for me then. Okay, so absolutely burritos.
Are your favorite food?
Burritos are hands down my favorite food.
Dude, I love
Of any kind, like... It just burrito, period?
The thing with burrito is there's so much variety to
that's,
just
that's
burrito.
What I'm wondering, yeah.
I mean, like, chicken burrito, that's my shit, but like...
But like frozen in a package burrito, like street food, street cart burrito?
So all burritos are created equally, for one. So each burrito kind of has its own purpose. Unless the ones that just, like, fuck with your stomach too much.
Right.
Then that's a little sketch. But like, frozen burritos... All right, it's 2 a.m. or something, you're up, and like, well, there's nothing else to do. Roommate's asleep, I don't want to cook up something in the
microwave,
kitchen.
Microwave
burrito.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going, if you just want something really good, go down, like, we're in Portland, go down to the food cart. Some fucking awesome burritos. Actually, one of my favorite burritos is super not a normal burrito. It's over at Robo Taco, and it's a faux pork burrito with pineapple and everything.
Wow.
That sounds good.
Yeah, the vegan faux pork burrito. I'm not vegan, not vegetarian, but I will get down on that shit every day if I had the chance.
Really?
Oh, it's
just
good. Oh, it's good.
Okay.
Yeah. So definitely, like, I even have a burrito tattooed on my leg. On my
yeah.
Yes,
it says,
beautiful.
It says Bro-rito.
Bro-rito.
Burrito.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Fucking awesome.
We have matching tattoos as well, both on our legs, of gas cans.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. We were, hoodlums back in the day when in our younger, battered days. And We were gas canners crew.
It's pyros over here.
Not setting on fire. Just getting gas.
Just getting gas.
So there'd be like a bunch of RVs like through Alaska during tourist season, and we'd like go and steal the gas cans off the RVs and just like have free
like they
gas.
Would be they would they would,
like
damn.
All summer
they would
long.
Be like they would pull up into our parks, and most of these people were there to fish in the summer times.
Okay, yeah.
And they trash our beaches, and they just. They're not really respectful to the land.
Yeah.
And so we would like cruise around campgrounds. And this is like 11 years ago, something like that. 10 years ago, we'd cruise around campgrounds and look for RVs, like towing a trailer. Like you can tell it's like a big brand new or rented RV, towing a trailer
with a lot of money,
towing trailer with four wheelers on it. And then, like, they would all be asleep or something because it's late as fuck. But their fire would still be going. They would still have, like, open food containers out on the picnic tables and, like, no cleanup. They don't realize there's fucking bears. They don't, like, there's, you know, and we'd be like, ah, these fucking guys. Oh, look.
This is our justification.
Yeah, it was
bad.
We
were shithead teenagers.
We were shitheads.
We were shithead teenagers.
No, I get that.
It was bad justification, but.
No. I understand that mentality. It doesn't justify it, but like living in Hawaii, I would see that shit too. So I'd see tourists coming by and just like trashing places. They'd be like walking on live corals. Like, dude, you're killing that. Like, get away from there.
When you moved there, did you get howly? Did you get fucked with at all by the natives? Where'd you move to? What island?
Kauai. So it was a pretty low key island.
Yeah.
A little bit, not too much. I had some definitely like weird experiences though. Like just like at the supermarket, there was a couple times where like there, I would just like get cut by locals, and since there was like locals in line, and they would just like look at me and just kind of like, whatever, what are you gonna do about it? I'm like, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's cool, whatever.
Yeah.
There was one time, so I don't do Tinder or anything, but there was one time where I ended up going on a Tinder date with a lesbian there. I was like, all right, cool. This is easy. You're a lesbian. That means that, like, there's no pressure. Like,
yeah,
it's just chill. So we were out by the bay and we were hanging out. We walk a little bit down the harbor and...
You went on a walk by the beach together.
I know, right? Nice. On 4th of July, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Fireworks going
dropping
off.
Fire.
But also along with the fireworks, there's some other loud noises. There's a bunch of bangs that I keep on hearing, and there's a bunch of locals with whips. And they're like these big, like, just like straight up like Indiana Jones, like 6 foot long whips.
Bull whips.
Oh, yeah. Straight up bull
cracks.
Whip. So that just a bunch of cracking going on. And we're at the end of the little pier, and I'm looking down because I'm not really paying attention to that at first.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, hey, look, there might be sharks over there. It's just like, it's dark waters. And then I see these guys coming up to us with these whips, just like staring us down, whipping them at us and just staring at us. I'm like, shit, there's not really any direction to go. I have to go back up the pier where they are right now or jump in the water, which, well, I was just looking for sharks because it's dark infested waters. So, there's a family that was there too. They were chilling, but they were kind of creeped out too. They look like half local, half white family. And they started like kind of like grouping together and going out as a group. And so like me and the other person that was with me ended up like going there too, like grouped up with them, walked down. But there was someone else that was passing by, and we started talking to them. They were local because they started talking to the guys with the whips and whatnot. And she was asking, it's like, why are you guys doing that? I was like, oh, scare away the fucking howlies. I'm like, yeah, okay, well, I guess this is how it feels.
Yeah, yeah, fucking nuts over there, man.
Damn. Yeah, yep. Yeah. So it was just, it was crazy, just like having to like just look right past that guy just while he's like whipping and just staring down at me while I walk past him. Just like, all right, I'm just ready to grab the whip at any second if it's a chance.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, you know, it's just. Trying to make us scare. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Intimidation.
What was, you never said what your least favorite food, something you'll just never fucking eat.
Oh, pickles. Pickles are fucking shitty.
Dill, sweet, yeah. Like any kind.
I don't like pickles.
Any pickle.
What about cucumbers?
I love cucumbers. I know.
Just as soon as you vinegar, cucumber mix, hate it.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I don't mind vinegar either, and like other things that are
pickled. Like, what about pickled green beans for like in a Bloody Mary or something? Like, you notice pickled green beans or olives, green olives?
Those are all right. Like, I could eat those, but like compared to a pickle, it's great.
Is it texture?
Yeah, right.
Is it texture pickles for you? Really, is it flavor? Yeah.
It's like a mix of the texture and the flavor. It's just like juicy and sour and nasty.
I fucking love pickles. You're making me want one right now. Oh, man. Talking about it. I like them so much. I make peanut
drink pickle juice.
Yeah, all right out of the jar.
After it's all gone.
And then I'll make peanut butter and pickle sandwiches.
I could get down with anything peanut butter except for that.
You might be surprised, bro.
It might turn you. I promise. Like, okay,
the combination of thin sliced dill
chunky
pickles.
Chunky peanut butter?
Oh, chunky peanut butter is the best.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing anyone would turn down.
So you take good chunky peanut butter, both sides of the bread, and then you take thin sliced dill pickles and just lay them on one layer across, just for a tiny little bit of crunch and a little bit of like vinegar taste in the fucking. It adds a juicy number, so you don't
but
really
that would
need,
ruin the peanut butter.
No, no, the flavor combination,
nothing
the flavor combination,
the peanut
butter. Dude. It is like. It is such a treat. It is mind-blowingly, like, it's just like Jack Daniels and pickle juice makes bacon flavored drink.
The fuck?
So yeah, if you take a shot of Jack Daniels and back it with a shot of pickle juice, it tastes like bacon in your mouth.
Get the fuck out of town.
It tricks your mind buds. It's your brain, your taste buds. Dude. Yeah, it tastes like bacon. It's a bacon shot. Wow.
The only thing that comes close to pickles, besides like as far as worst foods, is black licorice.
Oh yeah, I'm on that team.
Yeah,
first team all hate black licorice.
Cool. Oh dude,
fuck that shit.
Anti black licorice.
Me too.
Oh good.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Fuck that. Worst.
I'll go into riots about that shit.
Yeah. Where, one place that you could always that you want to travel in the world that you haven't been, just like where's your dream destination to go see?
I've always wanted to go to either Ireland or Japan. It's a hard toss-up between the two. Because I feel like Ireland would just be basically like a big version of Portland, but, you know.
Greener.
Yeah, and more European.
Yeah.
And then over Japan, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. A little bit more tropical, but...
Well,
it depends on where you are.
If you're in like Tokyo, that's like electronic hub city, like central, like busy, stacked houses, condensed.
Yeah, which would be cool to experience, but I feel like it'd be so overwhelming too. Yeah. Just like so compact there.
And then you just go a little bit outside into some country Japan, and it's like rainforest,
my brother lived in soy farms. Yeah, my brother lived in Okinawa for a few years.
Okay, yeah.
I never got to visit, but that's where I would want to go to visit.
Fuck yeah, that place looks beautiful. Yeah. Awesome. What is there anything you're afraid of?
The eyebrows. That was funny.
Like
Aaron had some intense eyebrows when he asked questions.
like fear.
Dude, honestly, the closest thing I could think of, like, because, like, going through all that shit in the hospital, I got over so many of my fears. Like, I'm no longer
afraid
of, like, needles. I'm not afraid of getting, like, hit in the face or anything anymore. But I really fucking hate being in a car during, like, heights. Like if you're, like, on a mountain or something and there's a big ledge or something like
guardrail
that.
Guardrail.
If I'm not driving, like, I feel so uncomfortable. When I was probably, like, 13 or so, I ended up rolling down the side of Mount Rainier in a SUV with my brothers in the car.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So we ended up, like, we rolled down probably, like, 20, 30 feet down this random valley that it fucking just kept on going, but there was just one random ass stump in the middle of everything that we just hit that straight on. And like I have some scars on my hips too because the seatbelt hit me so hard.
Oof.
But if it wasn't for that, like wasn't for that stump or the seat belts or anything, I would have just gone right out the window or just way worse.
Or that tree that had been like growing there forever. If it was big enough to stop a car, dude.
Thanks, Mother Nature.
Because there wasn't
really like any other stumps around either, which was the craziest part.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So I remember, yeah, because I was in the passenger seat. And,
that's so crazy.
You know, I was really young, you know, weak little guy, and I've never opened up a door that was sideways like that. So, like, all of the weight just comes down. It doesn't just swing gracefully like how it would be when it's normal. So I open it up and just immediately, like, slams down back on my head and just, like, it, like, gets my neck all, you know, fucked up for a little bit. So I had to, like, go back at it again while my brothers are yelling at me. He's like, hurry up, get that thing open. I'm like, it's closing on me.
Crazy.
But, yeah, so now, I mean, like, it's not, I used to have the hugest fear of heights because of that. But not, but when I was, I love climbing stuff, though. Like, I love climbing trees, always will. But, like, but when I'm in a car, though, that's when I'm just like, ah, shit.
What about, like, Ferris wheels or, like rides at, like.
Oh, I'm cool with that. I love that.
You going up high and see all that shit. Cool, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
I love roller coasters. I love that kind of thing.
Fuck
but,
yeah.
But yeah, like, just when I'm in a car, when it's like that, sometimes I'm just like, ah, neck, the hair on the neck is just standing up a little.
Nice, man. Mm-hmm. All right, and now I want to do a thing for all of us. I want us all to go around in a circle and say, because it's almost New Year's as well, right? Oh, yeah. So all these people out there, they might be hearing it after Christmas going into New Year's. What's your favorite thing and your least favorite thing about 2017?
Favorite thing for 2017 for me was definitely just diving into video and music a lot more. Like, ever since I did, like, everything that I've done is just, like, significantly gone up in quality. Just
I want to say your Noise Brigade video, the guys, the one you just did for them recently at the speed dating one, that was a fucking
thank
good.
You. That's one of my favorite ones that I've done.
That's
so
a
far.
Really cool. Well shot choreography. Like, every that was good, man. Was that all your brain? Like,
I mean, like, as far as what was behind and what was going on with the camera, yeah. But, like, the Noise Brigade guys, every time that I do a video with them, like, we're all in it together, and, like, we just come up with a bunch of the ideas beforehand, and then, during it, Nathan was helping out with a bit of the directing, just kind of, like, making sure everything was going in the right spot.
Cool.
Being in a room with, like, well, there's probably, like, 12 people or so, and it's just me doing video, directing, and doing all of that. Sometimes just a little overwhelming. So he was able to be able to kind of, like, get things a little bit more settled, you know, when maybe it'll look a little bit more in the future than I was able to, because I'm so focused on what's in front of me.
Of course.
Yep.
But like all the video work that has me, I have a mirrorless camera that I work with, and then I have a little gimbal that I ended up getting. It's pretty cool where I could, like, move it around where as much as I want, basically, and it doesn't, like, shake the camera a ton, so it just stays real flat, almost like having, like, a crane with me or something.
Good. Wow. Excellent.
Heck yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, and like
you do many things. People out there, they want to listen to Finding Casper. How can they find you? They want to see your photos and stuff. How can people, you know, you're
so Finding Casper's on, like, everything. We're on Bandcamp, iTunes, Spotify. Okay.
People can follow you on Instagram. They can follow you on Facebook.
If you
want to Twitter.
Keep up with us the most, Facebook and Instagram's the best way to follow us. As far as, like, the video and photo stuff, Instagram's the best for that. It's Sleeper Studios. That's where I just post the best of the best stuff up there.
Excellent.
And more of the upcoming
and also
videos.
For people here in the Portland area, they can message you if, like, say they're in a band, they want someone to come shoot videos of or photos of them.
Right.
Maybe they want to make a video. You know, like, you know, you are accessible for that for other bands and people in the area, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you do stuff other than other than, like, band stuff? I mean, will you do, like, personal parties or weddings or
I'll do pretty much anything. I've done weddings before. I've done portraits, I've done animal shots, I've done dating profile pictures for people. I've
headshots. yeah. Stuff like that.
I lean towards music just because that's how much,
of course,
that's where most of my passion is.
Yeah,
but you could contact me on either Instagram or Facebook via Sleeper Studios. Sleeper Studios.
There you go. Sleeper Studios, everybody. You hear that, Portlandites? You hear that, Oregonians, Washingtonians, all you guys? He'll take pictures of you and make you look good. Will you do naked photos for people?
If they pay, yeah.
All right. See that?
Right. Exactly.
All right.
It's like,
guys,
I'm not just going to show up and take pictures of someone naked for free.
But it's better if I'm naked and taking the photo.
Right.
Okay. So that's the thing. If you want,
no, you're not allowed to be naked. I have to be the naked.
Oh, so when someone asks for naked photos, it's just you naked taking
you
the
naked
photos.
Taking the photos.
Oh, beautiful. I love that. Yeah. They're clothed, perfectly clothed.
All right. So make sure to pose over there. Bend over a little bit. No, put your shirt back on. That's just me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I have to be bending over.
This is my time.
Perfect. It's my time. This has been a blast.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. This is great.
This is fucking awesome. I was just gonna play something.
The hotel?
I don't even know who you are. I'm walking down the street and you're being a weirdo.
Yeah, you are a weirdo.
Shouting at kids.
Those are my friends.
Those are children.
No, they're not.
You're cussing at them.
That is me.
You are weird.
Yes, you're a weird
motherfucker. You don't even know who I am.
You
are
a snitch, because I'll tell fucking Carl Benchmark.
I'm a snitch.
I know who you are.
Call Carl.
Call Carl.
What is that?
It's a lady who apparently
is on drugs.
She's on drugs, and she is just apparently yelling at some kids. Some guy tells her to stop, and she's gonna call Carl Bidmark because.
I don't even know who you are. I'm walking down the street and you're being a weirdo.
Yeah, you are a weirdo.
Shouting at kids.
Those are my friends.
Those are children.
No, they're not.
You're cussing at them.
That is me.
And then she completely owns
that
it.
Is
you're
me.
Cussing at them. That is me.
What? Okay.
She just totally changes.
No, I love everything about it.
Yeah. No, it's great. That lady's a winner. She's all-time star.
That one.
Whew. All right, everybody. One more PSA for you.
Oh,
man, guys, that's the thing. If you see one ant crawling across the countertop, don't squish it.
Oh, man.
If you see 5 or 10 of them, squish them all. But if you just see one, he could be homeless and looking for a friend.
Right? He could be your next bro.
Guys, don't squish the lone ant.
That lone ant could be you someday.
So there you go. Everybody remember.
Dude, is it cool if I tell one last story?
Please,
of course.
Talking about ants, I squished that one lone ant, man.
Yes,
that
yes.
happened because he was in he crawled inside of my computer monitor. Like, in my LED monitor. It's my nice...
Inside.
Inside. Where I would actually have to take it apart and take apart, the circuitry to get into it. And so I was, trying to get him off because I thought he was, on the monitor, and I go to squish it off, and then he just gets it implanted into my monitor. Now I forever have a silhouette of an ant on my 4K monitor,
just in a spot, random
it's
on.
Just,
the...
It's probably a third of the way in and a third of the way up on the left.
So it'll
side.
Block out one letter of text if you're reading something right there.
Dude, it's really weird because I'll be scrolling through Facebook and I was like, man, that person has a big blemish on their face that's not normal.
Oh, it's an ant.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that didn't look very normal.
That's crazy. It crawled way up in there.
Dude, I don't know how it happened because there's no other ants either. It was just trying to find a home.
He was a homeless ant looking for a fucking friend.
And the lone ant. Made it into your...
He's part of my life now, every day.
Yeah. All right. He lives on in spirit, that lone ant. Well, everybody, you'll probably be hearing this. It'll be Sunday. It'll be either Christmas Eve or Christmas for you when you listen to this, and you won't be doing anything but probably drinking too much and gorging yourself on goodies and commodity and
smoke one
loveliness.
For me.
That's it. Yeah. Everybody, just have a good time. Be safe. And the biggest thing is tell the people around you that you love them.
Yeah.
Spend the time that you're going to be having with everybody around you these days. And instead of worrying on who got what or how much this thing was, or if you did it good enough, or if the food looks good enough, or just concentrate on loving the people that you're around. It doesn't matter what you get. It's who you're with.
Tell them you
that's
love
what
them
I
too. It
doesn't
say. Necessarily always mean to be romantic.
No. But straight,
of course.
If you're with people on Christmas, you love each other. And, you guys are family.
And there's not enough vocal communication with
of
that.
Love.
There's so much negativity going on. Just
there is. There is. Well, there's an idea. I was going to bring this up earlier, and we just got sidetracked. But with the whole humanist thing, it's the idea of we are fourth. As humanists, as people who really we put humanity, nature, and equality before ourselves. And if you do those three things, if you love nature, you love humanity, and you love equality, and then you love yourself, there's that's propagating a happier life for everybody.
It's harmonious.
And so spend your time with people just remembering that, man.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said better myself.
All right, guys. Happy New Year's.
Thanks
Merry
for
Christmas.
Me out,
dude, this has been fucking great. And for all you just freaks out there, oh, that wasn't what I meant to say. Sorry.
Gargle balls.
Wrong thing. Anyways, for all you guys out there, it's been another one.
Hell yeah. It's been real.
Yeah. Next week we'll be back and it'll be a special episode. We'll have our girls in here and it'll be our 1 year episode special. We'll be going over fun stuff, best of, worst of, and you know. Yep, that's it. Drive like you know each other.